Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to discoveradn. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Dave Marshall, who goes by the name UK Haiku on app.net. He's a writer, poet, and geek living in the UK, who loves to share his creative talents with the world. Please join me in welcoming Dave to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hi Jason, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks now.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. Let me get started with the first question. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I can indeed, because I looked it up on Felix. I joined on the 11th of August, 2012. I was part of that original crowdsourced funding round, and I'm used the number 2560.
Wow, so an early adopter. Why did you join app.net?
I think it was a number of reasons, really. I think it was around the time when Twitter was clamping down on their third-party developers, and it kind of felt like a fairly unwelcoming environment for kind of people who were kind of more interested in a more tailored user experience, I guess, rather than the kind of the basic Twitter experience. And I think I was kind of quite late, quite a latecomer to Twitter, and so I kind of missed the early years where there was kind of more of a community and a kind of a friendly feel to the place. And so I thought, with app.net coming up and being recommended by a few people whose podcasts I was listening to, for example, John Syracusa and his ilk, I thought I'd give it a go and see how it went. And I haven't regretted it.
All right. Well, a lot of us have certainly enjoyed reading your posts on the network. You use a pseudonym on ADN. Can you tell us, where does UK Haiku come from?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date, but a few years ago, I needed to create a forum account. And my usual account name at the time, which I can't remember what that was, but that was already taken. And so I had to come up with a new one. And I was kind of going through a period where I was writing some haiku poetry at the time. And obviously many of the forum users at the time, probably still today, are American. So I decided to come up with a name that was kind of a combination that kind of represented something about who I was.
Can you tell us, is there anything that you would like to see more of on app.net?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see a bit more compassion, I guess. There's obviously, we've had a few heated debates in recent weeks, and I think I kind of mentioned on one of my posts around Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is a kind of a model of looking at kind of people's levels of comfort and how they respond to their environments. And it was kind of clear to me that the recent State of the Union announcement by Dalton and the kind of the uncertainty around the future of app.net has kind of generated a lot of stress and a lot of kind of anxiety amongst people. And I think people are maybe being more reactive when they're reading things than they used to. So I think more compassion and more kind of just thinking about what the person is trying to say rather than what your immediate gut reaction is. I think that would be good.
Okay, let's change gears just a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
That's a difficult one. I'd like to be known for many things, I guess. I don't like to toot my own trumpet either, but I think I like to be known for my poetry. And certainly since I joined app.net in particular, I've been a lot more creative, and I've written a lot more haiku poems. So I do like to be known for those. And I think just generally being a nice person. I've got experience in the past of working as a mediator, and so I try, and when I'm approaching a situation, I try and kind of understand both sides and try and get to the kind of the key differences. So I try and not react too emotionally when I read things I disagree with. I try and understand where the person's coming from, try and engage with them in a kind of constructive way. So I think probably the combination of that kind of creative side with my writing and kind of the more compassionate side with how I kind of approach both the social media and just life in general.
Can you tell us, how did you become interested in haiku poetry?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think I've had a bit of an interest in Japan for a few years now, and I think I was at school and reading some English poetry, and then I found that kind of a bit too long-winded and a bit too dense, I guess. And then I came across some Japanese haiku poetry. It was in some sort of compilation, so there's maybe only one or two, but I think the form factor really appealed to me. It was kind of a way of distilling down our experience of the natural world or a particular situation and really trying to get to the core of a particular response, whether it's an emotional response or something around the experience of that encounter. And so it really gelled with me, and that kind of brought me into an interest in haiku poetry, which then extended into the kind of wider Japanese pursuits as well. So I've not for a while now, but I've practiced Aikido in the past. I've studied some Japanese at night school class, although I've forgotten most of that since, and I've been to Japan a couple of times. I've got some very good Japanese friends.
Which Japanese cities have you visited?
My first visit, I flew into Osaka, and I had the Japan rail pass. So I visited Hiroshima and Kyoto, and then across to Tokyo and Yokohama as well. And then my second visit was just based in the Tokyo area, staying with a friend there.
Interesting. Any plans to come visit in the future?
Yes, I absolutely will. And I certainly would like to take my wife to Japan as well. And she's never been, and take her to some of the places that I've seen. And go to some new places. So I'd like to visit Fuji-san, and I'd like to maybe see a little bit more of rural Japan. Most of my visit has been kind of quite urban, based in the main cities. I've got a good friend, Yuji, who's actually working in London at the moment. And so I'll wait until he ends up moving back to Japan, and then we'll go and visit when he's back.
Well, that'll be quite the adventure. If you get the chance, if you want to see a lot of rural Japan, I recommend Kyushu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I shall write that down.
Yeah, lots of green, lots of open air. It's absolutely unlike any other place in Japan.
Excellent. Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Let me ask you a little bit more about your creative work. So aside from haiku, do you practice any other form of poetry?
Not poetry, no. I've never really kind of gotten into that swing, but I do some other writing as well. So I've dabbled with the NaNoWriMo event the last couple of years, which is it's a shortening of the National Novel Writing Month. And it's actually International Novel Writing Month, but it challenges you to try and write 50,000 words of a novel in November. And I've never managed it, but I've got a couple of part-written novels that I intend to come back to and try and finish. But the thing that I've really gotten on with the National Novel Writing Month is it challenges you to kind of almost kind of write in an uncensored way. So you're kind of trying to get ideas out and just try and get as much on paper as you can without trying to edit and trying to self-censor. And I think that's a very powerful thing when you're writing, that you almost kind of need to just let the ideas flow out and then pull them apart and rework them afterwards. And I know that's caused me a lot of problems in the past when I've tried to do kind of more long form writing, is I'll kind of get a couple of paragraphs in or a chapter in, and then I'll go back and re-edit it and rework it and polish it, and then run out of steam for the overall work. So I think the National Novel Writing Month has been a real positive inspiration for me to get back into doing more long form writing. I've also written a few blog posts and I kind of try and do a little bit more regularly on my blog as well.
Have you had any of your longer form writing published by one of the large publishing houses?
No. I've never finished anything. I've never finished anything to the point where I've wanted to send it out and get external feedback.
Might you in the future?
Yes, I think so. Whether it be with a traditional publisher or self-publishing, I've been listening to an excellent podcast called the Self-Publishing Podcast. It's quite rude. It's very, very much for adults only, but they've got some really good ideas around how to write and how to structure your work to try and get it a little bit more accessible through some of the electronic bookstores, and to try and generate a kind of an ongoing revenue from it. So that's certainly something that I'd look at in the future. I've also started writing a textbook as well. So from my day job, I'm a solution architect, which I think for the American listeners, I think he's often called an integration software engineer as well. And that involves kind of understanding of end-to-end design and requirements for kind of large, normally for large sort of enterprise size solutions. And so I started writing a kind of an introductory book to solution architecture.
Well, that's quite a bit of work.
Yes, it's slower going than I was originally anticipating, but I'm making some progress on it. So that's and because it's not dependent on any particular technology, it shouldn't age too badly. So if it takes me a year or more to finish writing it, that'll be fine. And I think for something like that, I would look to maybe a more traditional publisher.
So for this particular book, are you planning it to be published in a paper form, or are you going more of a Max Barkey route and looking at some kind of digital version?
I'd like to look at both. I think paper forms, obviously it's quite nice to have a book in print, but I think one of the things that I've been really interested in with the Max Barkey iBooks is the use of screencasts and videos to help make a point. And I think that's a really powerful learning tool. So I think it would be, for me, it'd be either a sort of an interactive iBook, or it'd be a paperback book with some online resources that you could dip into. So some screencasts and maybe some forums and things like that to support the paperback.
Well, good luck with that. I look forward to seeing that when it does come out.
Thank you. I'll let you know.
Let me ask you this next question. Can you tell us about something that you like, perhaps something that people on app.net don't know about?
Well, that's a difficult one. I'll talk about the place where I live. It's a city in England called York, and it's kind of one of those places where people don't necessarily think about it when they're thinking about coming to England. They think about London and the South Coast, and maybe they think about Scotland and visiting there. But York seems to be overlooked a little. So I've lived here for about 17 years now, and it's a wonderful historic city. It's got a It's got its medieval stone walls still running through it. It's got one of the finest examples of kind of medieval cathedral architecture with the York Minster, and it's kind of quite a unique city in the sense of it's very compact, and so it's one of those things where you can pretty much get around on foot. You can see so much of what it has in the city centre quite a small area, and it's kind of quite a low population, so it kind of feels more like a kind of a large town rather than a city, but because we have so much tourism from, in particular at the moment, I think from China, I think is one of the main sources of tourism here. It brings in enough tourist trade to kind of support some really nice restaurants and a really nice cinema in the city centre and things like that. So it's definitely feels like home, and it felt like home very soon after moving here.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful place for history buffs to visit.
Absolutely. There's some real, really excellent historical landmarks here, and in the near vicinity as well. So around the North Yorkshire moors and dales, there's some old abbeys and some quite a lot of kind of religious sites that are absolutely worth a visit. And we're not far from the coast as well, so that's always a nice bonus.
I think this is a good opportunity for us to come to the final question, and this is where we get to recommend some of the people that we enjoy communicating with on the network. So could you share with us three people who you would recommend and why you enjoy following them?
I can indeed. This was very difficult, as I'm sure everybody who's been on before me has found. But I'm not going to cheat, unlike some people. I picked these three people because I find them really interesting, and I'll talk about them individually. But I think as well as I picked three people who don't have huge followings, and I've also tried to pick three people who haven't been chosen before. Or at least not that I recall. So the first one is somebody called J.M. Reeks, and I'll send you the spelling through afterwards. And he's an American. He's an airline pilot with an interest in pens, and I have a bit of an interest in analog writing instruments as well. So I find his posts really interesting, both from a perspective of kind of a fellow pen enthusiast, but also from some of the insights he has into kind of flying and as a pilot. And he's just a genuinely really nice guy as well. My second person is Bascule Thiriscule, and she's based in the UK and is just a really nice person who's worth following. And likewise, the last person is BSAG, and again she's a UK based IT professional and again always worth following. And I think that's something that I've tried to kind of curate really in my own kind of list of people that I'm following is I've kind of got the usual mix of technologists and creative types and so on, but I've also tried to create my feed to be about people who interest me or are kind of I can kind of have a bit of a connection with, so you can kind of sense that they're really nice people through how they portray themselves.
Well, those are some excellent recommendations. Thank you very much. And I'd also like to thank you for coming on the show today.
No, thank you, Jason. I've really enjoyed it. And I've really enjoyed all the podcasts that you've done. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in season two.
Well, thank you for saying that. And this concludes the 36th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Dave for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. Have a nice day.